Right. Hey guys, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. That's the fastest introduction to podcast I've ever done. How's it going, Bruce?
Well, it's going really great there, Riley. Thank you for asking.
You went kind of 1940s there.
I did.
It's going really well. Yeah, going really well, see?
It's really going great. I really enjoy this podcast.
No, this one goes here. That one goes there, see?
Yeah, I see.
City, we are actually right now in Kennesaw, Georgia, in the the Kennesaw Annex Studio. We've been recording the Patreon Rogue Transmissions here for a bit, but now it's time to start this week's podcast off properly, and I'm very excited to have two fine folks who both also happen to be married, in fact, to each other. It's one, Michael Morris from Cloud City Casino here on the network.
Hey, what's going on?
It came out kind of wrong. Like, I was surprised that you two were married. I didn't mean it like that.
And guess what? Plot twist, it's to each other.
And then also, one of the hosts over at the Galactic Fashion Podcast, it's Christy. How's it going, Christy?
Hey,
welcome back
to
the Star Wars Report. When last we had you on the program, it was like right before... And then also right after going and seeing The Last Jedi for the first
time. That's right. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, over at Atlantic Station. Man, it's a good thing that there weren't any controversies or long conversations.
That's when we thought everybody loved the movie.
Well, right?
Yeah.
Right? All those blissful days of me and Bruce getting out of that first screen like, that was great, man. I can't wait for everyone to celebrate along with us. And then... Like looking left and right at the battle going around on social media, but it is funny. It throws into sharp relief that which the Star Wars fan community devolved into, because it feels like an entire age of fandom since The Last Jedi came out. I don't know if you feel that way, man, but it's been crazy. And now we're also like headlong going into Solo as well. So this is going to be kind of a looser episode this week. We're going to talk about Star Wars Rebels and spoiler alerts, by the way, for Star Wars Rebels.
So we're not going to use the show notes?
Oh, wait.
Wait, Bruce is like, I worked really hard on this.
I do show notes every week.
Sorry, dear.
I guess we're not using show notes today.
Wait, we have notes?
We do.
What the heck?
You have to bring up your phone. Your phone's
like
over
my
here.
My phone is so
But you may not want to do that because there's like audio and stuff, which you're not set up to do.
Oh, listen,
right.
Yeah, we could listen. That's what the phone speaker is
Let
for.
Let me know what the notes say.
Hang on, I got a text from somebody.
Okay,
that's unrelated. It's very much related. Go listen to Rogue Transmissions.
If you become a Patreon supporter, then you can listen.
Oh my gosh. If anybody's listening, if you're not a Patreon supporter, now's the time, because you want to listen to this latest Rogue Transmissions.
No stop, you said, motioning to keep going.
You get to hear a play-by-play of Riley's relationships.
Jeez.
And our awesome relationship advice.
Yeah.
And learn about Michael and Christie's marriage and their marriage problems, and it centers on Godzilla. And that's all I'm going to tell you. This is the best Patreon tease we've ever done.
So people are like, what?
Like 2 minutes in.
It's almost like a reality show.
Patreon.com/Star Wars Report.
Yeah, Patreon.com/Star Wars Report.
So we do have stuff to talk about. But Bruce, I know you...
You don't have to use those.
But you always do such a great job with
the notes. I do, don't I?
I mean, I just feel kind of bad that I just assumed you didn't. This is the problem.
What the heck?
I know.
When do I not do them? Why would you assume?
Because like we were going to Michael and Christie's house and we're going to talk about our time...
On Friday.
Oh, dang it. Man, you're on top of things.
Because I was prepared for the weekend.
Here?
But then
you should just be doing this.
You were delivering food to people.
I was doing Postmates. That was talked about
Postmates.
In last week's Rogue Transmissions.
That's an app.
I can go pick up action figures for you guys. Quite literally. Postmates will let me do that. That is something we discovered last week. But no, we have Star Wars Report. Good Lord. Show notes that Riley is looking for, but he also refuses to...
Actually use.
But Bruce, I'll have you kind of hop along with me throughout the show to kind of help guide us through those. But I want to start this week right off the top with what we did right before we recorded today.
Yes.
And that was the Lenovo's Jedi Challenges AR, not VR, AR system, augmented reality game. And it is awesome. We'll walk you through it. But essentially, I got an email from the folks at Lenovo and they're like, hey, we're doing a big promotion. We're going to be putting it on sale, and then we're going to be displaying it to a lot of the fan sites, and we want to send you guys a copy of Lenovo's Jedi Challenges, the augmented reality game. And I was like, That's awesome. Yes, please. And then I opened up a new tag in Google Chrome, in tab in Google Chrome, and I was like, what is Jedi Challenges?
Oh, that's fantastic. What is Jedi Challenges?
Who is this Hans? I'd heard the title, and I knew Lenovo was doing VR stuff because I think they had a booth at Celebration. I'm pretty sure they did, but I just didn't know. And what they've done is they've gotten in on this new VR/AR genre of gaming, of which I have very limited experience. I'm not a gamer. Unlike you, Michael Morris, host of Cloud City Casino, the Star Wars Report Network's premier gaming Star Wars podcast.
Is that what I do?
Is that what you do? So I'm leaning on you, man. Oh, which is funny because the phone battery died. You're literally the only one of the, us recording now.
But you know what? I was able to observe from an outside perspective, actually see you all play it.
Yeah, that's true.
I've got to say, you're. You know how there's like multiple lightsaber forms?
Yep.
I think we should take a moment and name
the
forms that were just.
All right, guys, fine. Go ahead. Come at me. What was mine? What would you call my lightsaber form?
I can show you a video I took.
I said the Q-tip.
The Q-tip.
It looked like he was dabbing something.
I was just like, yeah.
Well, yeah, because earlier we thought he looked like Harry Potter, like you're waving a
like
wand.
Like I was waving a wand. Yeah. Well, I was kind of tickling battle droids because it's kind of fun. Because like.
Tickling battle droids?
As you do. I mean, obviously. If you were in a galaxy far, far away, you would tickle
I'm in the halls of sea, tickling battle droids. How was your Sunday afternoon? Yeah, that's fair. The Q-tip style. Bruce, all right, I'm going to have to name. So you're an excellent Padawan, like as the instructions came through and you begin to face off against Darth Maul. But what happened was, and I just have to describe it, is that your feet are very planted. But... like everything above your hips is moving a lot.
Like a lot.
Like a lot.
Like you're trying to throw all the shaker of salts over your shoulder.
Some the salt shaker.
You're the salt shaker.
We'll do it. That's the salt shaker.
I was afraid to trip over something.
It's like, well,
and there's
and
that
that's
little
fair.
Ball in the middle of the room too.
Yeah, yeah.
That comes with it.
And Christy, although you were probably the most active. Gosh. You were probably the most active of us because you were like
active.
Charging across
by
the living
active,
room.
By active, you mean aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by active, I just mean like bloodthirsty. Right.
Well, because she is fighting Darth Maul, and what Darth Maul does in the game, he backs up for a while and resets himself. She was going after him. Like, yes.
He's backing away, yeah. And I'm going, no,
princess. I didn't come all this way to Theed to just hang out. So. No, so I would, you know what?
A bit of the angry ex-girlfriend.
I prefer no holds barred.
They're both no holds barred. Exactly. And that was it. So essentially how it works is it uses the tech in your phone, because of course we all have supercomputers in our pockets these days.
You download the app.
Download the app, and then it comes with a headset, a small, how would you describe that? Basically like small LED bulb of pink light that's on a stand that you can put in the center of your room. And so that once you actually download the app, launch the software, and put it slide your phone into the mask, and so use your phone screen, and just sort of like, and this is new, relatively new, the idea of AR with like the new iPhones, because the best way I could describe it is if you're taking an Instagram video these days on one of the new iPhones, you can like stick text to an object within the environment, and it uses the built-in accelerometer. To keep an orientation. So you're literally putting something digital in your physical environment. So like you scan past and there's a chair across the living room. You could literally plant a digital Pokemon, for example. Pokemon Go is the best example of this there. And that's how you collect it. In this case, it's projecting your Star Wars opponents kind of as holograms. Was Darth Maul a hologram? Or was he actually... because I didn't fight Darth Maul. I just fought the droids. Or was he a hologram kind of... ethereal training, or was it actually Darth Maul in full color?
It was Darth Maul in full color for me.
Okay, cool. So. Nice.
Yeah.
See, and that's where you come up with your actual opponents. And so with the I fought the battle droids, you can actually deflect them as they're coming at you in your living room. So like if you wanted to know what it's like to fight Darth Maul virtually inside your own environment, it was amazing. And it's also early tech because it works. There's it's not perfect, but also it's very inexpensive Well, that's one thing I really liked about it, because if you look at something like the Sony Vive or what's some of the other ones, I'm trying to think. There's the PlayStation VR. The PlayStation has their own VR system, which is pretty good. And then I'm trying to think of the I'll think of it.
You're probably thinking of the Oculus Rift.
Oculus Rift. That's what I was thinking of. And so like these are like $1,000, multi-$1,000 systems that are entirely virtual and have the computers and stuff built into it. So this is a much more accessible way to actually play Star Wars VR. And not, you know, be investing thousands of dollars in something. And that's why I thought it was really cool. I know Nate introduced me to the X-Wing combat in the PlayStation VR, which I thought was cool, but I like this application most because this is much more like social party game type of thing. I would see this as something that you would break out when all of your Star Wars buddies are coming over.
So it's the Nintendo Wii of Star Wars games.
fair, actually. I could think of worse things to call it, actually. I do. So it was fun. I don't know.
The headset wasn't real heavy or anything.
Yeah, that was nice, too. You know. Christy, what was your favorite part about it?
Honestly, you know, the actual back and forth during the battle was really cool. The fact that, like you said, Bruce, that Darth Maul backs away for a minute and kind of stalks you and then comes back in for another attack.
Yeah.
It didn't let me chase after him, even though I tried.
Yeah, because there's only so much it can project. And I think a lot of that comes down to they know they don't want to map digitally a space that's too large or just wouldn't
work.
Which
is why you use
most...
that pink dot in the middle of the room.
So the pink dot centers it in the middle of the living room, so you have like maybe 5 feet. So you have a small arena that you can actually fight in, which is why he keeps jumping out of range.
And I went outside the lines.
Right. Well, and a lot of it, too, is, I mean, it's not picking up your entire body. It's essentially picking up the tip of the lightsaber here. That's the little sensor, and that's what it picks up, not you.
Okay.
So you're supposed to really just stay still, I think.
Nuh-uh.
That's why I didn't move my feet.
Yeah. See, Bruce gets it. I mean, the bottom half.
No.
Top
you
got to
do a lot
work.
Of slashing. That's how you win.
Yeah, no. And Bruce, favorite parts about it? Because you did Darth Maul and some of the tutorials.
Yeah.
That kind of led you into it.
I mean, just fighting Darth Maul is actually pretty fun because you're actually fighting Darth Maul. I mean, you know, you can stand around all you want waving a lightsaber, but then when you actually see Darth Maul coming at you using those same moves he used in The Phantom Menace, then...
Oh, cool. So it was mapped off of...
Oh, yeah, and he had the double blade thing.
He was doing some kicks and spins.
Yeah,
and...
spinning and all that.
Now I wanted to stop podcasting and do it, because I just fought Droidekas. Droidekas!
Now, did you have scenery when you were fighting them?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was just... Well, I mean, there's the scenery in the menu system, which is kind of cool.
But otherwise, but the character.
In the actual battle environment, it's just the characters I'm facing off against. I don't know if that's different. And by the way, that's what I realized. We literally just played in the Naboo environment. They had Lothal. They had a bunch of maps and planets, which probably explains why the app was so huge to download to get all of that amount of data.
Because it was
a full gig.
Yeah, it was nearly. Gig. But so delete a few podcasts, not ours. To keep up with that.
Star Wars bookworms, get rid of that.
Stop it. Stop it.
Ooh,
I'm sorry, Ion Cannon. I meant Ion Cannon.
Man. All right. Okay. But
the big files are actually beyond the films.
Big thanks to... all right, I'm going to stop.
Aggressive negotiations.
Thank you. Listen, to the kind people... at Lenovo, who somehow thought it was a good idea to give us this game. thank you for sending it to us and letting us play with it. I'm looking forward to actually getting into it a little bit more. So I just wanted to open the show with that. Let's talk about episode 9. J.J. Abrams is, he has a script. He seemed kind of relieved to have a script, too. I don't know if you guys saw this clip. He was on, not Kimmel, he was on one of the late night shows.
I don't know
Colbert. He was on Colbert, and they're longtime friends. They go way back. And during the course of the conversation, he's like, come on, tell us something about episode 9. Mm-hmm. And JJ's like, I wish I could do a J.J. Abrams impression. I never was able to get that. In all of the press and stuff for The Force Awakens.
It's kind of close to George, actually.
The cadence is there.
Yeah.
But George, it's easy because it's easier to cartoonify. Probably because more people have done. Because, like, George probably, he talks like this. He's like, I love
well, JJ
to eat
is,
things
you know,
like that.
Really
is,
fast
is
and talks
yeah,
in seconds.
Yeah, right there.
So I think that it's good to have a script. But, you know, so that's JJ. It's all right.
No, it's good. Yeah,
point
it's
being,
a little work, but yeah.
He actually said something.
We
that
don't
I
know
was,
because we're not meeting JJ next week, but that's a whole nother
story. I'll listen. I'll work out. Oh, there's. Oh, I need to tell that story to them. There's something I need to tell you guys off air about Bad Robot. And it's literally something that. Okay, anyway, whatever. We will put it in Rogue Transmissions. No.
Another Rogue.
The thing that jumped out to me about it was the fact that he actually seemed very pleasantly surprised and happy to have a script this early.
Well, it's you know what? I actually was able to get a hold of some leaks. I can tell everyone right here. You want to?
Well,
so
hang on, let me scoot in here.
He said,
all right. What are you like?
So basically, he's like, all right, it's going to start.
Yeah.
Supreme Leader Snoke has kidnapped Luke.
Okay.
And so Rey has to take the lightsaber.
Yeah.
And go after him. That's all I remember.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, basically,
it doesn't seem plausible.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So this reminds me of an article that I was going to put in the notes that I didn't.
Okay.
But apparently, Colin Trevorrow, one of the reasons he's not doing episode 9 and was fired is because he wanted Luke to still be alive and for Snoke to be alive to carry over into episode 9, and they weren't doing that. So.
Oh.
He was making demands that that were counter to what they were doing in The Last Jedi, apparently.
Yeah, and that's come out recently, but I actually heard that like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's probably some validity to that because I had kind of picked up on some of the things that Mark Hamill had said, and a couple other things. So yeah, I think that's
what it really seems
to.
Like with I don't know, with the Star Wars director gig genocide of just like every director.
That's one way of putting it. Like,
if you're a Star Wars director, it's not a very secure job, evidently. But I think part of that is the ones who seem to be most successful are the ones that are good at working inside the studio system. For good or for ill, like J.J. Abrams is good at working with big budget, high pressure franchises and delivering reasonably good movies that people go pay money to see.
Well, it's
and like all of us nerds can complain about Khan all we want, but like Star Trek is a very successful series, way more so than it ever was before J.J. Abrams, financially speaking. So, I mean, the studio's happy with it. You're the Star Trek nerd.
I am.
See, I got a little affirming nerd nod from Bruce. So I
don't know.
You have an affirming nerd.
Khan. I'm like, I don't care.
What's up?
I said, I fell asleep with Khan. I'm like, I don't care. It's dumb. Why is all these old guys talking?
It's about those movie tickets, man. Bored. They sold a lot
but
of tickets.
But what about Into Darkness? You like
No, Into
that.
Darkness was good.
Yeah, you liked that one.
I didn't like the other one.
But you're talking about the original. I didn't either. We've had this
so
conversation.
Boring.
Right? Sorry, guys.
But you know, good. But the weird thing is, though, but then you hear stuff about like how Bad Robot basically just like hijacked the whole production
that is true.
So it's
maybe
it's
by working
really
in the studio system, he's just better at like just holding hostages.
Right?
Like I'm a really good negotiator.
I think JJ's very good of okay. Tell me what you want. I'll make it.
Yeah.
And they just barricade the doors and do their own thing.
Yeah. And other filmmakers are like, well, this is what I want to do. And JJ's like, well, you tell me what you want, and I'll make it great.
You don't think that JJ has like his own style? Though,
I think he does, but I also think he can accommodate to what. Other styles that people want from him.
Yeah, because he can take he took a predictable framework for The Force Awakens and delivered a very good crowd-pleasing movie that I love and that a lot of Star Wars fans loved. And its highest criticism ever was like, it was a lot like that other movie we absolutely loved and defined an entire generation, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
She's probably like, well, that's what they told
well,
me.
I love playing that game with people who are like, oh, it's just
it's
like
a ripoff.
I'm like, why? Remake. They're like, well, because there was like another Death Star. And I'm like, there were also lightsabers in it. I'm like, does that mean that, oh, no, we can't have lightsabers
see,
in a Star Wars?
That's what I didn't
movie.
Like. There's just too many lightsabers in these movies.
Are you talking about episode 2 or are you talking about
all of them?
that's why I hated Rogue One, though. I absolutely couldn't stand the fact because you know what? In Return of the Jedi, there was a garrison, and dang it, in Rogue One, they had to deploy one. And I just thought, why not just remake Return of the Jedi? It's a garrison joke. Deploy the. Never mind.
deploy that garrison!
Ben Mendelsohn. all the spit in his mouth. Like,
but he was so great.
Probably one of the, I'm not going to lie, one of the most fun times I've ever had watching a Star Wars movie is sitting next to you, Michael, watching Rogue One.
When he shattered the glass illusion.
I think that's why you don't care for it as much now.
It's your fault. It's like, through all of my evolution of like, it's not my favorite of the new movies, is all Michael Morris just pointing out the spittle.
And there was that other thing you pointed
out. I think
out.
Of that every time I watch Rogue One now.
It's so much spit in his mouth. It's like,
what's the quote? It's in my achievement. All right.
Yeah.
By the way, though, one of the most quotable characters of the recent Star Wars movies.
Oh, I actually really like him a lot. I mean, like, it's...
But,
like,
man,
it's
there's
like
that
laugh
one
about,
quirk
yeah.
of his performance.
Yeah, but
and it was consistent, at least. Mm-hmm. It was there through the whole movie. Yeah.
That
it's
was
not
a,
like
that
Princess
was a choice.
Leia's brief, you know, British accent. No, he was right. He was chewing up something the entire time. I'm trying to think. What else do we have on the show this week? Because Bruce, we don't have time to hit everything, but I don't want to skip anything since you're the man who did all the actual work putting in the prep. But I have
in the notes of one of the things you did mention at the top of the show.
Rebels.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's how we need to wrap up.
Yep.
We need to talk some Rebels, guys.
Okay. Listen, Kanan, so let's see. So Rebels,
Jarris,
I like.
Spoiler alert.
How sweet the Jedi.
See, Luke is a rebel. Han is a rebel.
Yeah, there's really kind of in his own way.
Jin is a rebel.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know.
She rebel.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? Oh, wait, that wasn't in the movie. That was like, no.
Let's see. Who's Dodonna?
Dodonna's a great. Listen, his beard was rebelling. It
was just pretty good. Right off his face.
Right.
We have Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma,
a rebel.
Really the leader of the rebels. I feel like, good show, guys. All right, let's wrap
it up. I'm glad we're talking about
you
rebels.
You probably got the Dukes of Hazzard. Like, oh,
you're not going there, Bruce. You're
the rebels.
Jeez.
Just the good old boy.
No, Star Wars rebels. You know what?
Here's
what ticks me off.
Oh, gosh.
What grinds
here's
your
what,
gears?
This is what grinds my gears. This is what gets under my skin. This is what just rankles me.
I was wondering where you're going with that last one.
It's Star Wars Rebels. Okay. Uh-huh. I've never seen a series with so much potential deliver so much vanilla pudding.
What?
And so I... Because they always start seasons and end seasons so well. Mm-hmm. And then there's so many puffer pigs and
yeah, no,
Ezra
it's
Wang
awesome.
In between.
Love it.
So what's your problem? Like,
but I got really excited because I had all of my friends. We discussed this last week. I think our invitations got lost in the mail somewhere. But all of our friends who were out at Lucasfilm
oh, right, right.
for this exclusive screening of The Finale were all raving about, oh, it's so easy. And I know it's like a season opener, so I'm getting pumped. I'm like, oh, these are always the best episodes, the ones that, you know, coming back after a big break. Isn't that right, Lucy?
Hi, Lucy.
We have another guest on the
guys
show today.
Four-legged.
You can hear the heavy breathing.
Is that a porg? Oh, no, it's not.
It's a hedgehog.
That is the heftiest, meanest-looking porg I've ever seen. So Star Wars Rebels, that's why. So I get excited for these big, because the big moments are big, and the significant character moments are amazing. Like the Darth Maul stuff, Ahsoka versus Vader, when Kanan becomes blind, amazing, mythic Star Wars storytelling. But sandwiched between it all is a lot of very, just unfortunately, just... Star Wars without anything special. And Star Wars should always be special. And listen, Clone Wars did it too. It just did it a lot less, in my view. Because there were plenty of stinkers in Clone Wars. Remember that episode in season 2 with Dr. Vindi? Remember the guy? It's set on Naboo. You had Jar Jar's girlfriend. And like the Zablo Shadow. That was a stinker, right? But like there were... three or four episodes in that whole season that were like that bad. But so that's where I get excited. And then of course I got spoiled on Twitter right beforehand. So I'm just a salty Peter. I'm just angry and mad. Cause like I finally got super excited to get back into the season. I didn't watch any of the first half of season 4 until like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I finally caught up and binge watched it all, liked it all a lot. And it was really getting a lot better than season 3. And then I got spoiled, and I was just like, dang it.
So you did not like these last two episodes.
That's my problem, is I liked them, but I didn't want to like them because I was bitter about getting spoiled.
So really, this has nothing to do with the actual quality of the...
This is just Riley's crippling self-doubt, and, you know, just like...
That's awesome. Like, so, Bruce, if you can hop off that couch so we can have Riley just kind of lay back there.
And just, like, really process my emotions. Well, because... Kanan is a character that I really like, but has been shuffled to the background a lot in the last two seasons. And so this was his moment to shine, and this was him fulfilling the greatest thing his character could, and that was sacrificing himself for the crew, and the way he does it is incredible. And so the problem is I liked it a lot. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Wow. So here's my theory.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think it's just you, with just a lot of things that you've expressed is... I think what it comes down to is truly Rebels has always been Ezra's journey. But I think that fans have connected more with Kanan and Hera and have really preferred it to be more Kanan and Hera's journey. And had that been the case, and had they actually...
There'd been more lead time on that kind of relationship.
Right, and let Ezra sort of be a side character and really focus
Amen,
it on...
Brother. Amen.
On Hera, and well, because you have the rebel side coming from Hera being a general, and then you have the that was actually really impressive. Sorry, I don't know if I saw that, but
all of the distraction, any complaints, any one star iTunes reviews, make sure to mention Lucy the Bulldog because Lucy's awesome, although she's definitely distracting us all. But that's okay. You're saying so the idea of keeping these two as the sort of central. Moving to the show because the best that they are, there's just a lot of show that isn't
right.
So like the way all of my favorite parts of Rebels. So what I like about Rebels is all centered on those two characters.
Right.
But that's how it began with Kanan's moment of when he first ignites his lightsaber, the cowboy Jedi. He's basically the central moving force of the whole show in the beginning.
I mean, but I think that was more like I said. I think that was to sort of highlight. I still think it was through Ezra's eyes. You know, he was the one singing it because he says, "Kid, I'm about to let everyone in on the secret," and it's supposed to be like,
it's a great moment.
Oh, guess what? I'm a Jedi, and you're going to be a Jedi too. You know, it's basically Luke in Ben's hut learning about, you know, it's your father's lightsaber. So I think that's what it meant to be. But like I said, I think fans just really happen to like Kanan and Hera. I mean, because Hera was initially set up to just be. You know, she pilots the ship, but
she did not have much of a role in the early seasons.
But I think fans just liked her so much that she's become a massive part of it.
Yeah,
and I think that you can really see like everything that Star Wars is. I think you can get out of Kanan and Hera, and I would say even though I really like.
And I'm so glad that, I mean, and they've been leading up to it pretty well this season, because especially watching all those episodes back to back from the first half, where they do a good job of sort of not just turning a switch and say, ha, Kanara's a thing. They actually really kind of show those bits of history that the two have that are briefly hinted at and teased, and then we talk about it at a convention, and then Dave Filoni stands on stage like, I don't know, guys. And, you know, like, when you have that. But they really did kind of build a proper Star Wars hero's journey, mythic kind of romance, an Empire Strikes Back level, you know, romance under stress and strife. And that's been missing from Star Wars. And that was very welcome, I think, in Rebels for me. I don't know. Where are you, Christy, on their relationship as it's been the season?
Yeah, I like that it didn't start immediately like a, you know, wooing her kind of situation. It was that they had been through battles together and that they really had a basis of mutual respect and friendship first, and that it kind of built to that point. I really like that Hera got more screen time, but I still think my favorite character is Chopper.
Well, especially in that second episode, Chopper and Hera's relationship was kind of a joke a lot of the times, but the moment where Chopper comes in to comfort her is just it's a beautiful, simple moment, because that's one thing that these two episodes most recently, and that I'm kind of getting the sense this season, is the storytelling does so much more with less dialogue. It's so much more powerful, because like listen in Kanan's final moments. It's some of the best Star Wars animation. Again, Rebels achieves what I really do think is some of the best, as much as I give it crap for some of the quote unquote filler episodes, it achieves the best moments that we've ever seen in Star Wars animation. I think the Ahsoka versus Vader sequence is definitely there. When Maul faces off against Kanan, and that entire episode, really. But each of those storylines is an example of that. And then now, moving up to season four, there's the moment where it's not like they want a surprise death. They don't surprise you. There are hints all along the way as Kanan.
And you're hoping not.
I was actually totally surprised.
wait, really?
Well, just because I for whatever reason, I had it in my head that I'm not surprised Kanan is dead.
Yeah, but that it came so soon?
But yeah, I really had it in my head that he was going to die on one of the last two episodes.
Yeah. Well, and me too.
See, we're
honest.
So opposite on that.
I thought so, but I picked up once they went through the sequence of him chopping off his hair and, you know, him taking off the mask and just kind of going to stripping away everything else besides him and the mission that he's going to attack. I was like, that seems kind of final to me. And then his little line at the end when it's like, see you around, kid. He didn't say exactly that, but he basically says Luke's line from the last Jedi. I was like, oh, I see what's happening here. And so for me, when that moment came, I actually liked that it wasn't a... And even then, in the moment, if you don't see it coming, it's drawn out and it's a full kind of final arc that's closing Kanan's chapter. It's not a sudden death. It's not like, I don't know, some kind of Game of Thrones. Wow, he's dead.
Right.
Yeah. And I liked that because it showed what a pure version of what a Jedi Knight should be. And that was his selfless sacrifice because, again, not a single word needed to be said. But as he uses his final energy to protect them, from the
expanding
to
actually
energy.
Push them away to like yeah. Because at that point
and then push them away.
No, yeah.
His eyes, he goes from blind and to where he can then see for that brief moment. That is poetic storytelling. And that's where Dave Filoni hits it on all cylinders and like, man, why did they spoil it on Twitter? Screw you guys.
Yeah. But in Twitter. Defense of your, you know, description of the filler episodes. Every episode can't be like that one. You know, you have to have a journey to get to the epic point of that episode.
Not like big characters dying, but I see what you're saying. And and it's unfair to, it is, we need to be reminded and be charitable that it is, have room for it being a kid's show. And that isn't going to always be grand mythic storytelling. Mm-hmm. That's just what I want. I want it.
Well, and
I'm
two,
just being that entitled Star Wars fan.
And two, like, one that I remember that seemed like when they really started getting dinged for having filler episodes early on was Fight or Flight.
Oh, yeah.
Which to me is...
I remember that was a New York Comic Con. We saw that one right before New York Comic Con last year.
But see, to me, that's not a filler. Even, and everyone goes, oh, okay, so the TIE Fighter comes back into play... So it's so it did have meaning. But even if that wasn't the case, that's not really what that was about. What it was really about was Ezra and Zeb becoming closer and them actually becoming more of a family unit and you know, basically the team coming more together. So it's character development.
Yeah, I like that
one. So, yeah. So, I mean, like... And I can't, look, I can't say that for every single episode, mostly because I just, right off the top of my head, I can't, like, go through every single episode and say, oh, this is what was this and that was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Get off my back. I'm not IMDb. But,
oh, you better believe I'm looking at Wikipedia right now.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the case. I will say, you know, thinking, you've got me thinking more on Ezra. And like I said, I do like Ezra. Yeah. But thinking on it, I am kind of seeing... I guess some people's issues with him. And I think a lot of it comes down to everyone actually has a deep, interesting background except for Ezra.
No, that's the problem. He does. They just don't say anything
about
it.
Does he really, though?
Yeah. His parents died and sacrificed themselves starting a segment of the rebellion.
But that's them, not him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and but their death and sacrifice are his motivating factors. And they even say that in the show.
Right.
They don't show it in the show.
Well, because how do you show that? You know what I'm saying? Like what more do you do? Like, you can't just have him be like, well, and because you know, guys, my parents actually died. You know, like, he can't just keep... throwing that out there. That's
listen,
their story,
and that's
not
where we
his.
Bring in the Quentin Tarantino style flashback episodes.
No, you keep him out of Star Wars.
Oh, be careful, he will do it too. Like, listen, if he'll start with Star Trek and then he'll come back.
So, yeah. However, one thing that you and I talked about, though, that I actually want to have her sort of retell is when Christy blamed Hera for Kanan dying.
Oh,
what?
Let's hear this.
Because you said that, of course, Kanan died because Hera told him that she loved him, and so that's basically what marked him for death.
Oh, yeah, when we were watching it in that moment, it felt like sort of how you saw it as him shaving and giving everything up leading to the point of his death.
Yeah.
Me thinking they're finally going to let them be together. No, that's never going to happen.
Oh, that is true. That's such a shame. Yeah. Nah, that's a...
She finally tells him her true feelings, actually says the words, I love you. It's like, and then, now it's
right,
coming.
That's why
like
I couldn't get into that episode, because that was like, oh, Kanan's dying in this episode. As soon as they started exploring quickly the relationship and they're confessing their feelings and then he loses like, his lightsaber, I'm like, okay, at which beat are we killing Kanan? I see it coming. I saw it coming the whole way through. And then what happened was just like, okay, whatever.
Oh, Bruce. Oh,
it was
my heart
still so heart-wrenching
for
because
me.
Because you have 4 seasons to establish this relationship that everybody's asking for,
yeah,
and they don't
like
do anything with it. And all of a sudden you get in this season, you do some hints at it, and then in this confessing, they're flirting. I'm like, okay, this is one of those things where you set up where you're
dying.
Like, one of them's going to die. And we know it's not Hera, but then, of course, I saw it. I mean, it's not that I hated the episode. It was just when I started reading what other people were saying, I was like, really? Like, that was so obvious to me.
You are Klieg Lars.
I get it. We're dumb, okay? You're so much smarter than us, Bruce.
It's just saying for me, that's what happened.
I will say, though.
Because you're smarter than us. I get it. I heard you.
I was watching Star Wars Rebels, and she went out to the moisture evaporators picking the mushrooms.
Now, if
your mother was...
face it, boy. Your fandom is predictable.
Your mother's dead, son.
I love Klieg Lars.
Here's the thing, though, because knowing that the season's ending... If this would have happened like in the middle of season 2, and I know it's going several seasons, I would not have probably saw that coming.
Well,
but knowing that we're near the end and they start confessing their love.
As someone who actually, like in college, studied a lot of like writing.
Can we ask that person?
Where?
Hold on. I'll
get him on the
phone. Can I phone
here.
A friend? But here's the thing. A lot of times, and this is the problem with a lot of these shows, like for instance Walking Dead and even Game of Thrones, has stumbled, is when you do like these big, like, oh my god, shocking, we're gonna kill a main character, that can hurt your story because you've now cut a thread short and you're going to have to find another way to get back around to resolving that, or completely drop it, and that's just bad storytelling. So a lot of times it's like, yeah, it's kind of predictable, but you know what? It's also competent.
Well, it's like it's tried and tested too. Like there's a certain you know mythic template for great storytelling, and I think so. For me, Game of Thrones is a remarkable example of that done well, because like. Yeah, we'll put it this way. Because I love the story so much, I don't want to spoil it, even though it's been, you know, the show's been on for forever and that sort of thing. But I just love the, when sudden character deaths happen, usually there's an immediate heart-wrenching or significant change in the plot that propels someone else's story forward. So usually there is that
sometimes.
Reason. Well, I guess it depends on which one we're talking about.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, I know we don't want to get
like, when
into
you think
Game
one guy's the hero,
but...
and then, well, wait, suddenly this other guy has to figure out how to take on the mantle, and suddenly that story becomes way more compelling, because instead of the sort of archetypal template hero that's leading the charge against all the people you hate in the story, suddenly the guy who's able to lead the charge against the people you hate in the story is way less equipped and has way more, you know, more identifiable, and by identifiable as in he's a guy you can identify with more facing those struggles, which is where the story at several points, and this applies to several different deaths in Game of Thrones, that I love so much. And so, like, bringing that to Star Wars, that's where Luke Skywalker's death, we don't know what that means for episode 9. But it darn well better mean something.
Oh yeah, no,
because,
I agree 100%.
Like, when it particularly with Kylo Ren, because of all the characters in the new trilogy, I think Kylo Ren is the one with the most potential because of how he handles and adapts and grows past or gets past or reacts to Luke's sacrificial death. And so that needs to mean something. And we'll see with J.J. Abrams, because he doesn't have the greatest track record when it comes to closing stories significantly down well.
Does he have any track record? Really? I don't mean that as like a saying like, oh, he has a bad track record. I mean, like, does he have a track record at all? When has he ever really closed?
He has, because he has such a great track record as a producer and as a writer and as a world builder.
Yeah, but if you're talking about like the TV show Lost, he really wasn't that involved in writing.
Yeah, he wasn't involved with Lost for a long time, so you can't really blame Lost on him. That's the thing. He's never really finished anything out.
Yeah.
Cloverfield Paradox on Netflix. Go watch it now. Have you seen his Mystery Box TED Talk? By any chance?
I thought you were about to say, have you seen his Mystery Box? where is that thing?
It's right over here.
Have you seen him misplace it?
This goes way back before he did Star Trek or Star Wars or anything. It was like recently post Lost. Have you seen it by any chance?
I have not.
It's a really good way, because it's almost become pop cultural shorthand to criticize him for his Mystery Box and not finishing stories. It's twofold. It reinforces all the stereotypes we have with J.J. Abrams for his inability to sometimes finish stories well or kind of bring character arcs all the way around because of his obsession with mystery. But it also, going back to that TED Talk again before Star Trek and Star Wars, seeing him explain it as something that was missing from storytelling, it tells you a lot about why he's such a successful storyteller in Hollywood, because he's able to use mystery and intrigue in a way
You know what his favorite show was growing up?
He mentioned in the TED Talk, and I already forgot.
The Twilight Zone.
Oh, that's right. That's
which
right.
is all about mystery.
Which is basically what he's turned Cloverfield into.
Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously.
So it makes me... I like that part of him. I really respect his ability to use mystery and intrigue in a way that... Star Wars has mystery and intrigue, but man, we're talking... That would have been more... The Star Wars fan inside my little heart here, that would have been much more exciting for Episode 8. And so going into Episode 9, I'm like, I just really hope that Luke's death really propels some characters forward.
And going into Episode 9, do you think he's going to create more mysteries than it ends? And you're like, oh no, now he's up these things
that
we don't know.
I honestly don't know. Maybe part of it's just I'm hoping not.
Right.
I mean,
I hope he does so that they feel like they have to do a 10, 11, 12.
You really think so?
Yeah.
I just want to see more Kylux.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is going to put the wraps on this week's podcast. Thanks for seriously, guys. Thanks for jumping in and inviting us over to your house to almost trip over your dog and kick over your dog coffee table playing with Jedi challenges. Speaking of which, thank you to Lenovo for sending us Jedi challenges. We appreciate it, guys. Go check it out. We're going to have links to it if you're interested. After we've talked about it, we'll just throw some links to it, and you can check us out. Playing it, and I'm sure we'll be putting up some pictures and stuff on social media. So check it out. It's the Star Wars Jedi Challenges from Lenovo, the augmented reality game. Let's get the plugs going. Of course,
Patreon.
Patreon. I feel like we did a good enough one at the beginning of the show, but if that wasn't enough to convince you, I don't know what it is. Patreon.com/Star Wars Report. Patreon, patreon.com/Star Wars Report. He's like,
Bruce
has already checked out. Where did you post those videos, Bruce?
That's in the Patreon.
Patreon. The exclusive Patreon Facebook chat that you can join when you sign up at any level at patreon.com/Star Wars Report. Oh, cool. I should stop. We've done way too much of a hard push on it. Also, of course, email the show, starwarsreport@gmail.com. And of course, Facebook/Star Wars Report, Twitter/Star Wars Report. That's where you can find us. And then, of course, the best way to talk with me, because I'm done with Twitter. I'm done. I'm also done with like pretending I'm not done with Twitter. I'm done with Twitter. Isn't that right, Lucy? Lucy, hey, yeah.
Oh, she almost got it. Close. She almost got it.
I was throwing Lucy her toy. Instagram is the place I'm at these days. The Riley Guy, R-I-L-E-Y. Lucy, does Lucy have a Twitter? Lucy needs Twitter.
No, she shares my Instagram with me.
Oh, nice. Well, where could folks go find pictures of Lucy if they were interested and find your Instagram?
They can find us together, Lucy and I, at Bespin Bell on Twitter, Instagram.
And that's Bell with an E at the end?
Yes, B-E-L-L-E.
Ah, excellent. And of course, Galactic Fashion is the podcast. Check it out with the Jedi News Podcast Network, available everywhere fine podcasts are, as is Cloud City Casino, What have you guys been up to recently? I haven't listened.
Nothing.
It's okay.
We know you don't game.
It's okay. I was like, have you played the recent Battlefront? And he's like, have you listened to my Star Wars gaming podcast? At the beginning,
it's only like the last six episodes.
Like, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So right. we've been covering a lot of the Battlefront news and some of the stuff that's been coming out from Fantasy Flight and the stuff that's been canceled from Fantasy Flight. Star Wars LCG, the living card game, is no more. But they killed it with their new game, actually. Everyone's like, oh, we like this game better. Oh. We're going to stop playing your old game.
Fantasy Flight is the X-Wing miniatures?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, they have multiple different Star Wars games, so they're competing with themselves, basically.
Well, and what's funny is, so I love board games growing up, and I feel like it's the kind of thing that if I got into it, then I would just never be able to stop. Like the X-Wing miniatures.
It's a lot of fun.
Like, is it one of those that you, and again, I'm grossly ignorant about it, but it's like that you play over multiple weeks? Like it literally takes forever to play?
No. It's okay. Typically, a game can last anywhere from like 30 minutes to an hour.
Oh, nice. Yep. What are we doing? Next week, when we do the show, we'll do an X-Wing miniatures tournament.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Bruce has pieces.
I do.
That is true.
I barely play anymore.
But of course, it's what is it at Cloud City Casino?
Yeah, just got Cloud City Casino
on Twitter, and of course, Cloud City Casino everywhere podcasts are. And yeah, man. Oh, it's at Morris Isley, which by the way is a great Twitter name.
Yeah,
that was pretty. Sweet.
I can't believe I didn't think of that since we're both Morris.
Yeah, but on both Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter and Instagram. We'll have links to all of that in the show notes for this episode. What, 320?
I 320. Think so. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's a lot of podcast. How
congratulations.
Are we still
alive? I don't know. We need
congratulations.
12 rules for life. By Jordan Peterson.
It's a good book.
Are you reading that?
First chapter in. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
I saw it on Instagram.
It's pretty good. Oh, after the guy. Nice. Say bye. All right, guys. We're done. We're done. We're out of here. We will catch you next week on the Star Wars Report podcast. Thank you for writing Star Tours.
Bye-bye.
That's the thing.
Is that on the poster? That's what it is.